We know Paul as the man who penned a lot of our scripture. He is the author of the letters we find in the New Testament, many of them at least, to the Romans, to the Corinthians, to the Philippians. He was the one who wrote, "Love is patient, love is kind." He reminded us that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God. He coined our Lutheran faith with the phrase, "By grace you have been saved through faith." He is a wordsmith who we love and refer to regularly in our life of faith. But today, before any of those letters are penned, Paul faces his own death, which actually happens a lot in the book of Acts. People want to arrest him. People want to kill him. He has angered them because of what he has been preaching and saying about this Jesus and his resurrection. And so they accuse him of breaking the law when he's done nothing wrong. They try to threaten him with violence to silence his voice. Though we love Paul and struggle to believe why anyone would want to kill him, we read today that he was not always beloved for what he was preaching. As a fellow preacher, Will Willimon, says, they would prefer him dead rather than hear him continue to challenge their view of God. Now, spoiler alert, Paul survives. And he survives because he was protected. And this is what initially struck me about this part of Paul's story, is the lengths to which people went to protect this one man. In response to the threats on his life, Paul is taken into the barracks. He's taken away from the people, the mob, so that he is safe. And then he is guided through the night, shielded on the journey by 200 soldiers, 200 spearmen, and 70 guys on 70 horses. This is the army that surrounds Paul in the night, and it is ridiculous, right? This is such an over-the-top and extreme response to protecting one man. There is no way anyone could point out Paul in the middle of an army of 500 people. He is then taken to the governor with a letter pleading for his innocence, a letter imploring that there's no reason that Paul should be killed, that he's done nothing wrong. He's been charged with nothing deserving death or imprisonment, and that he should be rescued and kept safe at all costs. There is something grand about the protection Paul is given. Something lavish and almost dramatic about how far hundreds of people will go to keep him alive. And I think it was even more striking to me because we know someone else in Scripture who was threatened because of what he preached, but who was not protected. Jesus found himself in the same place Paul does today. Jesus had been preaching about the kingdom of God and pointing to a Messiah who would redeem the world and bring all people into his care. People loved this message for a time, but as he made his way to Jerusalem, they were uncomfortable, unhappy, threatened. So they revolted and asked for him to be killed, taking him to Pontius Pilate with the charge of being the king of the Jews. And there was no army surrounding him. No letter pleading his innocence. No protection for the God in flesh. As I sat with this passage this week, the same question kept coming back to me. Why Paul? Why was Paul saved? Why did Paul get this level of care when other followers and preachers of Jesus probably didn't? Why was he given every measure of privilege and protection when it wasn't even given to the Savior he was preaching about? Now, the literal answer to this question is that Paul was a Roman citizen, and once Claudius Lysias heard that one of his own was being threatened, he had to step in and do something. He couldn't have a Roman citizen killed on his watch. But I think the more interesting answer is that Paul was saved because Paul's story is one of life. And not life as in our hearts are beating and we're conscious and alive, but rather a resurrected life, a new life. Over and over again in Acts, we have seen God offer Paul life, another chance, more mercy, abundant grace. When Paul was a murderer, killing people who were following Jesus, God offered him life. God sent Ananias to meet him and watched as the scales fell from his eyes, and then God called him to be a preacher of good news, a preacher of Christ's death and resurrection. God called a murderer to be a pastor. That's new life. As Paul begins his ministry, traveling and preaching across Asia Minor, he was persecuted, threatened, and imprisoned time and again. Each time, though, he was miraculously saved. Once he was lowered in a basket through the wall of the jail so as to escape the prison guards without them knowing. Another time he escaped jail when an earthquake shook the foundations, releasing him from his chains and opening up the walls so that he could leave. More life. More chances. And now today, when Paul's literal life is on the line, when the message that Paul is preaching is being threatened, he's once again offered another chance, offered more life. He's surrounded on all sides on the journey to Rome, and he is met in the jail cell by the Lord himself saying, "Keep up your courage, Paul. Just as you've preached in Jerusalem, you're going to go preach in Rome too." Over and over again, time and again, Paul is offered life. Impossible, miraculous, ridiculous life. And this life that Paul continues to be given and receive is because of his Savior who died without protection, who was crucified so that Paul wouldn't have to be, who was raised from the depths of hell to show us that this life is ours, that it's been given to us. And not so that we can just do whatever we want willy-nilly, but so that we can then be a witness of this living God in the world, so that we can point to our Savior who seeks abundant life for all, so that we can offer the same life we've been given to our neighbor in need. Paul's story is one of life and life abundant. But I want to be honest. It's also a story of great suffering. Paul was regularly accused for what he proclaimed. He spent long bouts in jail. He was scoffed and laughed at, humiliated and ignored. The new life that Jesus continually offered Paul did not give him a one-way ticket out of this broken world of sin and suffering. In fact, Paul's life after being called by God was probably more painful, more challenging, and more terrifying. than it was before. But the comforting part of this story, of Paul's story, is that God never abandoned him. God always showed up when this abundant life was threatened and protected him, shielded him, saved him, redeemed the situation in an impossible and miraculous way. And we can trust that God does this for us too, because this is what God did on the cross. God went to the depths of death unprotected, accused on an innocent charge, no army or letter pleading for his survival, and redeemed it, turned a story of death into a story of life, and then offered that life to us. This is our protection. This is the army that surrounds us. A God who shows up in your jail cell and surrounds you on all sides with the cross of Christ. A cross that shields us from death and evil and violence having the final say. A cross that comforts us in our hardest moments. And a cross that strangely, miraculously, inconceivably offers us life over and over and over again. This is Paul's story. It's also ours. Thanks be to God. Amen.